Good morning, everyone. It is good to see you guys here. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Colossians. We are continuing in our message series in the book of Colossians. Our sermon series is called Lord of All Creation, as Paul continues to remind the church that Christ is the Lord of all creation. And as he writes this letter to this church in the city of Colossae, so we're now into chapter 2, and this morning we're going to be looking at just one verse, so it's going to be easy to follow. So Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to be in verse 8 this morning. So we have some bulletins on your rows if you want to take notes. And this sermon title is kind of a cool title. It's called A Call to Vigilance. Does this sound good? Sound exciting? John, I think John likes that kind of title, so that's good. A Call to Vigilance. So again, and we're just going to kind of jump into this. I'm going to read this in just a second, and then we'll get into this. Again, Paul is calling, as we continue in this chapter, as he started in verse 1 in this chapter, Paul is calling the church to watch out for false teaching. Okay, let's go ahead and read it, and then we'll kind of jump in to see what God's going to show us this morning. So look at verse 8, and let me read this to us. It says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." So what Paul is doing here is he's calling the church to watch out for false teaching. Now, this seems like maybe broken record is probably too negative of a term, but what we're going to see is, again, Paul is doing the same thing, saying watch out for false teaching. Let's pray, and this is a really cool verse, so I want us to get into this and see what God shows us this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for the freedom to be here this morning. Thank you for this church family. Thank you that we can gather together. Lord, as we worship you, Lord, we desire to lift you up. We thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you so much for your love for us, your sacrifice for us. Lord, we're so thankful that we get to open up your word that's been breathed out by you. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. You would encourage us. You would challenge us. You would convict us. You would work within us. Lord, let us be a church that shines brightly the light of the gospel to this lost world. Thank you again for Jesus. We love you, and it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. All right, so as we see verse 8, Paul says he's calling the church to see to it. I like those three words that he starts out with, which basically means this. If you look at it, it means to be careful. Be careful. Protect yourself. Be on guard. He is calling the church to vigilance against being deceived. Now, have we heard this before in Paul's letters? A call to be careful about false teaching? Is this something new? Have you noticed from your parents, kids, or maybe when you were growing up as a child or someone in authority in your life that the things that are really, really, really important are repeated over and over and over to you? Have you ever noticed that? Did your parents ever say something more than once to you about how they wanted you to act? Was it, or just kind of a once when you were a little bitty and like, all right, that's all you need? No, I know that we say things over and over, and my kids, they have this comeback phrase, which is, I know. That's their comeback. I know, Dad. Because you told me that 5 minutes ago. I know you told me that last week. But the things that were like are super important as parents, we repeat things either because we want to instill some type of behavioral pattern in our kids' lives, or we want to protect them, right? I mean, we repeat. It's like, that's why we say, put on your seatbelt. I know. Put on your seatbelt. I know. Look both ways before you cross the street. Put on your helmet before you ride your... I mean, all these different things, and we repeat because we desire to protect them, or we desire that they put that pattern, that behavioral pattern in their lives. Have you noticed that a common theme in Paul's letters is a warning, a call, a plea, an exhortation to the church to watch out for false teachers. This is not something we haven't heard before. It's in different letters to different churches. He's continually reminding them, be on guard, be careful, watch out for false teaching. Now, why would he warn the church of this over and over and over? Do you think maybe it's because we as humans are prone to being deceived? Do you think maybe that's why he's doing it? That's why he didn't just say it one time in one letter to one church, but that in all of these letters to all the churches, over and over, he's saying, be on guard, be vigilant against false teaching. Maybe he's doing that because we as humans are definitely prone to being deceived. Maybe Paul continually warns the church to be on guard of false teaching because we have a tendency as humans to believe things that are not true. We have a tendency to get half-truths mixed in with truth. You think that's an issue today at all? Yeah, we've got so many streams of half-truths coming in at us from all different types of sources, and we just kind of like, we're pretty cool at just believing whatever we read. We've got to be on guard against false teaching because we as humans have a tendency to be deceived. I'm going to take you back in time to the late 80s, okay? Cool decade, right? It's had a resurgence lately within our culture of the 80s, you know, and all these TV shows and things like that. But I was a child of the 80s. I was in high school in the late 80s, and I grew up in Choctaw, America, Choctaw, Oklahoma. And Choctaw back in the 80s was not the thriving metropolis that it is today. So they have a Starbucks now, which is crazy. But we didn't have much in Choctaw. Okay, it was very rural. It was a lot of neighborhoods. It was spread out all over the place. So there wasn't much to do on the weekends as a high school kid in Choctaw. You could do a few things. You could go to one of the 10 movie rental places that we had, you know, that were, you know, in a gas station here or a little place over here. You could go in with your friends and then walk around and look at the VHS tapes and decide which movie you wanted to rent and then take it back to your house, gather in the living room and watch a movie. You could do that. You could go to Bowling Green. Anyone ever been to Bowling Green? Yeah? Okay. It's like three of us. That was the bowling alley in Midwest City. That was really, really hip. You could go play putt-putt on Douglas Boulevard, which is now a funeral home. That was where our putt-putt was. That was pretty cool. You could go to Heritage Park Mall. Yeah. You could walk around. You could go to the arcade. You could go to the Cinema 2 that was in there, or go across the street when they built the Cinema 5 and watch a movie. Or you could go cruising on 12th Street and Moore. That was far. I mean, you had to really drive to get to Moore. You know, that was a big, big commitment on that. But so here we were. So we were always looking for things that were safe, things to do as teenagers. So my best friend and I, we got bored one weekend, and we came up with this brilliant idea. We made some signs. We handmade signs with, like, paper and Sharpies because we didn't have printers in our home to print something out like we do. So we had to hand make some signs. We got some masking tape. And we drove around in Midwest City, and we put signs on the fast food drive-through things, the menus, okay? So we would put a sign, we'd tape it up there, and then we would go and park as close as we could to the drive-through and roll down our window and listen. Now, we didn't have phones that took videos. We didn't have YouTube. So it was just us enjoying the moment as we listen to people read our signs. And so we wrote things like, microphone broken, please yell into the microphone. That was hilarious. You sit there and you listen to people scream their order into Taco Bell, and it was just funny. I mean, we thought it was funny. We had things like, sing happy birthday to our manager Mike and receive a free medium drink. And we would listen. 4 hours. We might have done this more than one weekend. Yes. We had one that said, sing the national anthem, receive a free taco. That was awesome to see people even attempt that one, you know, in the drive-thru. The best place was to go was on Air Depot, and there was a little taco place right next to the old Long John Silver's, and inside they actually had a speaker system that all the orders came through. They didn't have the headphones, so you could be eating in the dining area and listen to the orders come through as people yelled and then came up and was like, where's my free drink? And those were always little touchy moments there as they didn't know what was going on. Yes, we are easily deceived. Oh boy. People read it, they were easily deceived. There was a famous preacher, a Dr. Donald Barnhouse. He and his friends, when he was growing up, they would go downtown and stand on a street corner, and a group of his friends would point to the sky. They would just point at nothing. And they would look into the sky and say, "It is not." And then someone's like, It is so." And they would stand there until people would gather and start looking into the sky, and then they would slip off and stand on the side and just watch people to see how long people would sit there and stare at nothing into the sky. Why does Paul continually warn the church not to be deceived? Because we are easily deceived. We're easily deceived. So Paul says over and over and over. Now, I mentioned last week that it is less likely for us to be deceived if we are consistently in God's Word. Did you guys hear that? Did you write that down? If you are consistently in God's Word, it is less likely that we are going to be deceived because we are in God's truth. We know the truth. We are much more easily deceived if we are only in God's Word 30 minutes a week here in this time together. If we're not spending time studying the truth, how are we going to know His truth? But if we're in it daily, even a little bit a day, then we're going to know more of God's Word. We're going to know His truth, and we are going to be less likely deceived. But here's the thing. Verse 8, Paul does not just simply warn the church. He calls the church to be vigilant, to be vigilant. So my first point this morning is this, is that Paul is calling to the church to be vigilant against false teachers. Let me read verse 8 again to us. "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." The phrase "see to it" is a Greek word. It comes from the word blepo, that's the Greek word. But that word that Paul uses here that we translated as "see to it" is an action verb. It means to watch carefully. Not just casually, but watch carefully. It means to be vigilant. It means to keep your guard up. So Paul is saying there are lots and lots of false teachers out there. You have to be on guard. You can't just casually walk through life. You've got to be careful. You've got to stand guard. The definition of vigilance is the action or state of keeping careful watch for possible danger or difficulties. Paul is saying, church, watch out. Church, be careful. As humans, you have a tendency to fall for lies and deceit, and if this is true, don't you think that Satan will use lies and deceit to cause us to drift from the truth? Don't you think if we are naturally we have a tendency to fall for things that are not true, don't you think that Satan knows that and that he will use anything he can to cause us to drift from the truth? Let me remind you of what Jesus himself said about our adversary, okay? And maybe that'll help us make a little bit more sense of why Paul is saying, be careful, be careful. John 8:44 says this, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Paul is saying, guys, your adversary is the father of lies. Don't you think he's going to do anything he can to cause you to drift from God's word, to cause you to drift from the truth? So be careful. So be vigilant. So stand guard. See to it. Fight. I really think that one of our biggest weaknesses as believers is that we simply get lazy. We just get lazy. We get comfortable, right? We like things to be comfortable. We don't want to have to work very hard at anything. So we get lazy, even in our Christian, in our spiritual walk. We simply don't take seriously the war that we're fighting every day. I think that's what we do. Now, when things happen, then we kind of get stirred up. When a pandemic comes through and we start facing trials and we start dealing with all this stuff, we kind of get riled up a little bit. But ultimately, we just want things to be comfortable again. And when that happens, we just simply get lazy and we go through the motions. We come to church maybe because that's just part of our routine, but we're not daily fighting. We're not fighting the war that we're in every single day. We get lazy. And so what happens when we get lazy? We put our guard down, don't we? We don't take seriously what it means to put on the full armor of God. Why do you think Paul said, put on the full armor of God? And then he lists all these different things that we need to protect ourselves from because we are in a war, because our adversary, the father of lies, wants to kill and steal and destroy us, right? Now, this does not mean that we live in fear. We got to remember that. It's not like we get up scared every day. Why do we not get up scared? Because we have Christ. We have Christ in us. Christ already defeated Satan on the cross. Christ said on the cross, he says, it is finished, right? We have victory over our adversary, but we still, as we wait to be with Christ forever in eternity, we wait for him to come back, we wait to be with him, we must daily fight. But we have everything we need in Christ to fight, to stand firm, to be on guard. We have everything we need to walk in Christ, to walk in victory. Our salvation in Christ is secure. But what we need to realize as the church, that while we're here, awaiting Christ's return, awaiting to be with Christ, the church must be on guard. The church must be united. I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, that one of Paul's desires was for the church to be unified, to be united. You know what? One thing that Satan does, our adversary does, is he comes in and he can't take away our salvation. He can't take that. He's already been defeated. But what he does with his lies is he causes divisions within church. If he can get us divided, then we lose our whole mission and our whole calling. And we forget all about what God's called us to do as the church, to be the light of the gospel into this dark world. And we start fighting and start getting all wrapped up in ourselves and all this stuff. And he's kind of laughing behind, you know, it's like. I read an article this week that said, fight as a pastor, as a shepherd, fight to keep your church unified. Fight. That article said every 4 years, which falls right on the election, right? Every 4 years, churches go through these weird times of grumbling and fighting, and this is just completely amplified this year. Political stuff, masks, no masks, all this. I mean, the churches are just kind of fighting and fighting. We might look good here, but, you know, out there on Facebook, whatever we're doing, we've got to fight for unity. We've got to fight so that we can be a church that is shining the light of the gospel. Amen. Thank you. We gotta be ready for that. We were having our prayer time this morning, and I was just praying, Lord, help us to know how to navigate this time so that we can be a light with the gospel. How do we do that? The first thing we gotta be is we gotta be united in our calling. We've gotta be on guard. We've got to be united. We must stand for truth as we preach and share the gospel. We must stand guard in our personal lives that we don't fall into the trap of believing false teachings. We must be vigilant so that we don't drift away from the truth of God's word. We must see to it. So the question that I have as I look at verse 8, the question that I want us to answer this morning is, what are we to be vigilant against? Okay, it's all right here in verse 8. Paul gives the church, and you can begin writing these down. Paul gives the church three reasons to stand guard and to be vigilant against teachings that are not from God. So he says, see to it, be vigilant, be on guard, be careful, keep watch. And then he gives us three reasons why, three reasons to stand guard. What are these things that we are to be standing guard against? The first one is this. Believers are to be vigilant against deceptive philosophy. Deceptive philosophy. Paul says, see to it, be vigilant, stand watch against false teachings. Well, what are we to be vigilant for? As we look at, and he says, believers are to be vigilant against deceptive philosophy. By philosophy and empty deceit. Now, Paul is not speaking out against philosophy in general, okay? Philosophy is simply the love of wisdom, okay? What Paul is warning against was dangerous, deceptive philosophy that was interweaving Judaism with this Greek Gnosticism that was being preached. Let me explain that. And I'm not going to go into Greek Gnosticism, okay? That could be a huge, huge discussion. But here's what the simple version is. Greek Gnosticism, these were these false teachers that were coming in, they were preaching this false gospel. Greek Gnosticism was a teaching that one must work his or her way up a series of lesser gods before they could ever reach the ultimate God, okay? That's what they were teaching, and there's a lot more to it than that. But here's what they were doing. They were couching it in teachings with elements of Judaism, which really caught the ears of these Jewish Christians, right? These early Christians. They were making their false teaching, they were bringing in elements of Judaism, and it sounded okay. It sounded okay. But what they were doing is they were presenting this as being something more than Christianity. It's like, here's Christianity, here's some Judaism, here's all this weird stuff, and we're putting it all and we're mixing it together. But if you will listen to us, then you're gonna reach a higher plane, an even better spiritual plane. It was very deceptive and it sounded really good. Guys, this has been going on for thousands of years. Okay? This is what false religions do. This is what cults do. This is what religions that do not believe in Jesus Christ, this is what they do. They put in elements of the Christian faith and they intertwine it with completely false teachings that are not of God. And they make one think, if they don't know the truth of God's word, they make one think that they can reach some better, more holy, spiritual place. And in some places, some religions are even saying, and you might even be able to become a god. But they're catching it all in Christian ease, and it sounds really good. And if you're only spending time in God's word a few minutes a week, or not at all, how are you going to know what they're saying is wrong? Guys, if you know God's word, you know that there is nothing you can do to earn your salvation, right? There's not some ladder that you're climbing. There's nothing. And the best illustration is, the wages of sin is death. So if we're dead, how could we do anything anyway? Can a dead person bring themselves back to life? Can a dead person bring air back into their body? No, we're completely dead. It is all God. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And listen to these words, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. It's all God. It's all God. John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is specific to Christianity. All other religions, all other cults do not believe this. Everything else is about what I can do to earn my way, what I can do to be more holy, what I can do to climb my way, what I can do to get my own planet, what I can do to become my own God. It's all about me. But Jesus said, you can't do anything. I am the way. No one comes except through Christ. This is a gift of grace, so that it's not anything you've done. It's a gift of God, not as any result of works that you were able to do, so that you can't ever boast in yourself. It's all about boasting in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. These false teachers were smart. They sounded great. They had very persuasive words that we saw that last week. And here's the other thing. They were good people. Which means they were moral people. And when we see moral people that are pretty good, don't we feel like we should want to listen to them? It's like, well, those are really nice people. They have a really great family. Church, believers, know what you believe. How are you going to know what you believe? Study God's word. Know this truth so that you can be vigilant. Be on guard. Be vigilant against deceptive philosophy. The second thing is this. Believers are to be vigilant against philosophy dependent on human tradition. Okay, that is long, so please leave that up a little longer. So they can write that down so I can read it. Believers are to be vigilant against philosophy dependent on human tradition. I'm going to explain that to you, okay? So give you time to write it down. What does this mean? It means this, okay? Every cult today, every false religion, they claim that their teachings are ancient in origin, that they go way back, built on something from long time ago, but now they've been brought to light because of some person's holiness, some prophet, some new revelation. Look at what I have. Let me write it out, but it's all something old, but now God has brought this to me to share with you. Okay, that's how ancient cults have started. That's how false religions have started, the ancient tradition, but they've become now human because of some special revelation given to somebody. We see this in Mormonism. Okay. Had a couple guys come up my driveway about a year ago. And so I love talking to anybody that's willing to talk about Jesus. And so I asked him a question. I said, do you believe in God's word? Do you believe in God's word? And they said, yeah. I said, I do too. And I said, and God's word says that there's only one true God. So I said, you know, it doesn't make sense to me that I could become a God if there's only one true God. And then I said, God's word says that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is God. So we had a few conversations about that. We're finding some things that we weren't lined up in together. And then I said, you know, I also believe that if you believe God's word is truth, and I believe God's word is truth, then the Bible says that we're not supposed to add anything to it. I said, isn't that in the Bible? And they're like, yeah. I said, We're not supposed to take away anything from it. We're not supposed to add anything to it. And I said, so I have a really hard time that there's this other book out there written by a man that is equal to God's word. And they'd had no answer to that. I said, do you see my disconnect here? If God's word is truth, and he says, do not add anything to it, why is there another book that you guys put equal to it and claim this person had some special revelation? I said, I don't believe that. They were done. I was not rude. It was calm. It was a good conversation. I'm like, man, if you guys want to talk about any of this, I'd love to keep talking about it. Anyway, they left. God's word has been breathed out by him. It's from him. We are to be vigilant against any philosophy, any teaching dependent on human tradition. This is God's word. This is God's word. This isn't some person's word. This is the God of the universe, the Lord of all creation. He has breathed it out. It is his truth. And then thirdly, what are we supposed to be vigilant against? Believers are to be vigilant against teachings that are demonic. Okay, this gets a little tough here, okay, because we don't like to think about those kind of things, right? Satanic, demonic. But look at what Paul says here in the very end of verse 8. According to the elemental spirits of the world and not according to Christ. He's like, do not listen to those things. Stay away from anything that is not of Christ, because anything, any teaching that is not of Christ, guess what it is? It is demonic. Okay? Can we just be able to say that? Because it's going to get hard here in just a second, okay? So be ready. We are to be vigilant, stand firm, keep watch against anything that is not of Christ. So if it's not of Christ, guess what Paul says it is? It is of the devil. It is satanic. It is demonic. If a teaching is not grounded in Christ's teachings, if any teaching is not centered on God's word or on the gospel, guess what? It is demonic. And you know what these demonic teachings do? If we listen to them, if we buy into them, they are meant to take you captive, which simply means, translated deeper, carry you off as a prisoner. See to it. Be vigilant. Stand guard. See to it that no one takes you captive. I've said this for 14 years, and I'm going to say it again today, and I'm sure you're sick of it. Be careful of what you're reading. I could get my phone out right now and I could probably thumb through 20 articles just showing up on Facebook. And we've got Twitter, we've got access to, article after article and blog after blog after blog, and we have a gajillion self-help books on Amazon. We've got books and books and books and information. Be careful of who you are reading. Be careful of what you're listening to on podcasts. Be careful what articles you're reading online. Do you know anything about the authors before you read them? Do you know anything about what they truly believe? Because if their teachings are not centered on Christ, guess what? Paul says they're demonic. The elements, the demonic elements, are guiding those things. It doesn't mean we don't read books. It doesn't mean we don't read, but we need to research it before we ever begin start listening to it. Because there are tons of things out there that sound pretty good on the surface, right? I mean, lots of good things. But then you look up who the author is, who the pastor is, and you find out what they believe, and it's pretty scary sometimes. This thing came through online this week on social media, and someone that Jonna knew, it came up, and people were really excited about this person, and they're like, I love what she's saying here. It's so beautiful, so beautiful. And we just kind of had this weird feeling about who this person was. This person was a pastor, She's a pastor. She's a pastor, and she has 45 million followers. And then if you go look that pastor up, you find some really evil, scary stuff. Evil, completely against what the Bible teaches. All this stuff she believes about sexual freedom and all these different teachings that she's doing, and there are 45 million people going, oh, so beautiful how she says it. It's just, oh, the way she says it. And on the surface, there might be one statement that is like, oh, that's kind of cool. I like that thought. But then when you dive deep into what she is, what she believes in, it's downright evil. And guess what? A ton of Christians are following this person. Like, oh, I love the way she does. It's so true. Why do you think Paul, like a good parent, continues to say, be careful, be careful, be vigilant? I know, Paul, I know. Be careful, be careful. Chris, be careful. Paul, please, I get it. Be careful. Be on guard. Stay in God's word. Know what you believe. Know the truth. Be vigilant against anybody claiming that they know some special revelation from God that's from human tradition. Be careful against that stuff. Be careful of anything that's not centered on Jesus Christ and his word and his gospel, because if it's not of Christ, it's demonic. Be careful. Be on guard, church. Be unified. Be careful. Paul, please, I get it. Be careful, Chris. Be careful, church. Paul, you said this 1,000 times, and then he says it again. Be on guard. Be vigilant. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, demonic spirits, and not according to Christ. Church, be vigilant. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that we do have your word. Thank you that we have the freedom to gather here this morning and open your word. Lord, we have the freedom to go home and open it up tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and to gather together as Bible studies, and to gather as small groups, and to gather with our Fight Club partners and study and talk about it. We have that freedom. Lord, help us to be vigilant. Help us to be in your word. Help us to know your truth and what we believe, because you've given it to us. It's been breathed out by you. Let us be a church that stands on the truth of the gospel, and let us be a church that shines the light of that truth into this lost world that is desperate for truth. Let us keep watch as we read from our phones all this week, and we get online, as we just, help us to be careful. Help us to dig deeper into who we're reading, to see if what we're reading is centered on the gospel and centered on your word, Lord. Help us to be vigilant. Help us not to get lazy. Help us to stand guard. Help us to seek you, to seek your truth. Help us to spend more time in your word than we do reading other people's ideas. God, we love you. I pray for anyone here that is feeling and hearing and has the call on their life to be saved. I pray that they would not wait, that they would respond today. I pray for us as a church, as believers, that as we are encouraged that we have your word, that it is truth, and that we are also convicted about that, how we do get lazy. Help us, Lord, to turn our eyes to you, to run hard this race. God, we love you. We give you all the glory. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.